Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
So we're in a new season here at the Bridge. We've had a leadership transition in July, and then, you know, the leadership transition happened, and then the whole church left on vacation for 2 months. So I was really worried everyone had left the church, but they just all went to the beach. But as we've been kind of in this season of rest over the last couple of months, we've started to really pray, God, what do you have for us in this new season? What do you have for us as a church in this new season, as we've had this transition? And then, of course, we come into September, which is rentre season, and this always just feels like a new beginning, for better or for worse. Maybe you miss the holidays. Personally, I'm thankful because people are coming back to church now. But we really have started to seek God about what he wants for the Bridge in this season. And this is titled Through the Church, because if you look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it gives us a picture of why the church exists. Okay, so basically, we'll talk more about this in the coming weeks, but basically, Paul outlines this thing where he says, since the beginning of time, God's plan was that Jesus would come and redeem us, that he would conquer death, give us the promise of resurrection. All of this would happen, and it would be expanded through the church. So it says in Ephesians chapter 3 that God's plan was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known, which basically tells me that Jesus did this incredible thing in conquering death and the grave. And then he said, here you go, humans. This is called the church, and this is how the world is going to find out about me. It's all you. Have fun. And Jesus partners with us as the church. See, Jesus doesn't come down and appear in Poissy or appear at La Défense and start, you know, healing people. He could, but he's never done it. He leaves it to us to bring hope and healing into our community. Jesus' plan is that through the church, hope and healing would be brought to the world. Jesus partners with us. Does everybody get what I'm saying there? Okay. Suzanne gets it, and that's the only thing that matters. So during this season, we want to encourage you, if you're a regular attender, to become a member of the Bridge, which basically says that you're committing yourself to this body for this season. We all want to be a part of a church that does awesome things for the community. So we all want to go to our families back wherever we're from and say, oh, our church is doing this really cool thing. You know, we're partnering with this Friday mission lunch, or we're doing this thing. Our church is doing this cool thing. But the church can't do those things if we, the people in the church, are not committed to being part of it. So I'm really sorry to break it to you, but I don't have the capacity in myself to change this community or this city. My staff doesn't have the capacity. I know they don't have the time because I've given them all so much work to do. But all of us together, God does something when all of us are unified for a common purpose, and he begins to move us forward. So there's a few different things that membership will entail at the Bridge. One of them is being on a journey of faith, following Jesus. One of them is connecting with other believers. And then we have committing to give of your time and giving of your finances to this body. But today we're going to focus on that first thing, which is growing in your faith. And we are calling this intentional discipleship. You're going to start hearing those words a lot around here. So basically what intentional discipleship means is that if you read the Bible, Jesus was clear that what he wants us as followers of Jesus to do is to make more followers of Jesus. That's discipleship. It means that you're a follower of Jesus. So what we're committed to doing here is being strategic about how we as a church develop and multiply followers of Jesus. All that means is we don't just show up here on Sunday morning and hope for the best. Well, sometimes we do. But we, you know, No, just kidding. We plan throughout the week. We look at 6 months out, a year out. What are the big events? How can we go the furthest to tell our community about Jesus? We want to be strategic about it. We want to be smart about it. We want to exponentially produce followers of Jesus. We don't want to use addition. We want to use multiplication. We don't just want to add people to the church. We want each one of you to become equipped that the whole network around you now has the opportunity to hear about Jesus. That is what we want to see happen. We want to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit to create awesome followers of Jesus here at the Bridge. So this is our first priority as a church. If we feed all the hungry and the kids have an awesome program and our worship is awesome, but we don't have followers of Jesus sitting in our seats, we are wasting our time. This is our first priority as a church, is creating strong followers of Jesus. It's being intentional about discipleship. And today I want to share with you three things that we think intentional discipleship requires of you. Three things that we want to be as a church when it comes to intentional discipleship. So the first thing that we want to be at the Bridge is we want to say to people, come as you are, but don't stay that way. We want every person who walks in the doors at the Bridge to feel like they have found home. I met a girl in the last service, and she'd been looking for a church, and she came to church, and she said, you know, I've been having a hard time. She moved to Paris in January, and I said to her, it's funny because people who don't live here don't realize how intensely lonely Paris is. It's lonely. It's hard to live here. And she said, I've just been visiting churches because I'm looking for somewhere that feels like home. That is what we want to be. When someone walks through the door, whatever their religious background is, whatever their nationality is, whatever their social class is, we want them to walk in and feel like they belong here. We have a list of guidelines. When we have a visiting speaker, we have a list of guidelines. And we tell them it is unacceptable for you to ever say anything that would make someone feel unwelcome in our congregation. It's very important to us. We don't want anyone who's not a Christian to walk in here and feel like they don't belong. But we believe God has more for you than remaining the way you were when you first walked in those doors. It's one thing to walk in and to be caught in addiction or caught in a broken relationship or caught in any of those things. We welcome you. We want you to be here, but we want more for you than to stay where you are right now. We want more for you than for you to stay where you were when you first came here. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 24, Paul says this. Paul says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So basically that means, hey, there were all these rules, but apart from that, the righteousness of God has been made known, which those old guys told us about. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are freely justified. So what we mean when we say come as you are is we mean come in here with your sin. Come in here with your lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. Come in here as you are, and you're full of sin, and that's fine, because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of what God has asked of us. But we believe that God wants to justify you through faith in Jesus. God doesn't want you to leave here the same way that you came in. We are never going to apologize for preaching the truth of the word here. It's hard sometimes to get up here and preach about sin. Can I be honest with you? I don't like to do it. I would like to get up here and say, you know, do one of those things where it's like, God wants you to be rich and God is going to give you, you know, many, many children, unless you don't want children, and then it's going to be fine. And, you know, I would like to get up here and just make you feel good about yourself. But the truth is that God wants more for you. than that. God wants more for you than for you to remain in your sin. And that means that I have to get up here and preach the truth of the word. Now, sometimes when someone preaches truth to you, it offends you a little bit. And it makes you feel kind of bad about yourself. And that can be called conviction. That means that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about sin in your life and something that you need to get straightened out with God. And that's a good thing. And in that moment, you have a choice of whether to listen to the Holy Spirit and ask for forgiveness, or you can kind of go further this way and say, you know what? I'm not going to change. I'm not going to let the Holy Spirit change me. We always want you to be in a place where you let the Holy Spirit change you. Sin separates us from God. Sin makes us blind to the places where our relationship with God is broken. And if we ask God to give us a soft heart, if we ask God to bring the conviction of the Holy Spirit into our lives, it will change us. It will make us new, and it will really give us freedom. So I know that some people don't want to go to church because they say that, you know, oh, church is full of hypocrites. Like that pastor, she's just going to judge me. And then, you know, she's not so great. Let me, spoiler alert, I'm not so great, okay? I will never stand up here and tell you that I am perfect. We don't have a church full of hypocrites. We have a church full of people who have found redemption from their sin through the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay, let me be clear with that. You will never find me pretending to be perfect. And if I do, you can just ask anyone on my team and they'll tell you the truth about that. Sometimes living according to the guidelines that God has set for us can feel stifling. And sometimes we push away commitment to Jesus because we say, I don't want to have to change the way I'm living. And that can feel stifling until your relationships start to break down. That can feel stifling until you get so caught in addiction that you don't see any way out. God's guidelines from afar can seem like something that, you know, that's just a restriction and those are rules I don't need, until your life starts to break down and you start to wish that you had followed what God had asked you to do with your life. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief," that's Satan, "does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Satan hates you. He wants to destroy your life, and he will tell you whatever lie is necessary for him to destroy you. He hates you. And then Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Some translations of the Bible say, "I have come that they may have life and life to the full." Jesus wants you to have abundant, full life. And that means that we come as we are, but there's more for us than staying that way. The second thing that intentional discipleship entails is the risk of commitment. We live in a culture, we live in a society that avoids commitment at all costs. We are terrified of commitment, okay? Your Netflix subscription is month to month. Your lease in your apartment, you can get out of it with 3 months' notice. I mean, we are terrified as a culture of commitment in our relationships, in our memberships to church. Maybe we are just, we don't like to commit ourselves to things. But can I tell you that avoidance of commitment gives you a false sense of freedom? There's a false sense of freedom that you find when you avoid committing yourself to anything. When I first moved here in 2010, I came in 2010. I was 26 years old. I felt so old. Man, you guys remember when you felt old when you were 25 and then you turned 30 and you're like, man. But I was 26. I moved here and I came to work on staff at the Bridge. And I had been here for about a month. So I was like over it, right? So you have your first few weeks that you move to Paris. And it's like, oh, I can walk to the little bakery. And, oh, look at these little people riding their bikes. It's so precious. And then, you know, a few weeks later, you're done. You know, you're waiting in line at the grocery store, and there's 10 people in front of you, and the lady at the front of the line forgot to put a sticker on her potatoes, so she has to go all the way back to the produce section to get the sticker for her potatoes, and everybody just has to stand there and wait for her. Or you have someone that decides they're going to pay their grocery bill in euros, and they just count out one at a time, and you're like, I'm going to pull my hair out. You know, and the cashier just kind of sits there and looks at their fingernails while this is happening. It's like, it makes you feel insane. Or you get on the train, you get on the metro, and it's rush hour, and you're like smashed up against the doors, and there's just like sweaty bodies pressed all up against you. And you're like, why, God, have you brought me to this forsaken country? You know, I had a friend from the U.S. visit a couple years ago, and it was like during the canicule. And we're packed into the metro, and everyone is dripping. And he looks at me, and he goes, there is no way this is a developed nation. Has anybody else been there, or is it just me? So we're sitting at staff meeting. We're about 4 weeks in, and I'm at the point where I'm losing my mind. And I'm starting to think of ways that I can get out of this, right? I'm like, okay, well, what are some good excuses I could come up with to move back home to the U.S. and all of this? And the founding pastor, Robbie Bradford, in his devotions with us that day, I can't remember the context, but he said, it is only when I commit myself to something over a long period of time that that commitment changes me. And I was like, shoot, you know, God just spoke right to me in that moment. But I thought to myself in that moment, I said, okay, I could come up with an excuse to go back to the U.S., and I have the freedom to do that. And I can be a person that chooses to, you know, do this for a while and then do this for a while and maybe commit myself to this for a few months and then over here. Or I can take the risk to put down deep roots. It's only when we commit ourselves to something over a long period of time that that commitment begins to change us. Avoiding commitment does not give you freedom. It keeps you from growing deep roots and becoming something, part of something greater than yourself. Every person in the Bible who did great things for God, they didn't do it alone. They were part of a force of God's kingdom that was moving forward. You can go faster by yourself, but you can go further when you're united with other believers for a common cause for the sake of the kingdom. In John chapter 17, we see this really cool passage where Jesus actually prays for us. And this happens, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and he's about to be arrested and crucified. And in this time before his arrest, he prays. And starting in verse 20, he says this. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone. These alone were his like current followers living on the earth at that time. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's all of us. That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. So that's a lot of, you know, one and you and me and you and us and one and them and all this stuff. But what Jesus is saying is Father, the unity that you and I have, I want all believers to have that with each other. Jesus's prayer right before his crucifixion was that we would be united together. And we can't be united together unless we take the risk of committing ourselves to one another. If you want to experience all of the benefits and rewards of a relationship, you have to be willing to pay a price for that. This really can be shown in the human relationships that we have with each other. And you know, some of you in here are single, some of you are married, but many of us have had an experience at some point where you're like kind of dating someone, you're starting to spend a lot of time together and having your, you know, you're like really putting time into this, and you're telling your friends, like, oh, I think he likes me. It's so exciting. and you like them and you think they like you too. And so finally you work up the courage to sit across from them and you say, okay, we've been spending all this time together and it's been really nice. And, you know, I really like you. And so where do you see this going? You know, all the men in the room are like starting to sweat. Where do you see this going? And then sometimes the other person goes, well, you know, I really like spending time with you, but I'm not ready to make a commitment. And that's the point, ladies, when you're like, all right, see you later, bye, and you put the baguette in your purse and you leave. But we have this thing where we're like, oh, I don't want to commit myself to something because what if something better comes along, or what if I get hurt, or all this kind of stuff. But you know, when I look at the relationships that I would like to have, I think of people that have been married for like 30 or 40 years. This whole like flitting from relationship to relationship, there's nothing in that that looks attractive to me. Maybe it's fun at the time. I wouldn't know. Maybe it's fun at the time, but there's something where paying the price to make a commitment reaps rewards in our lives. Paying the price and putting ourselves into something greater than ourselves changes us. And it works the same way in a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we look at Jesus and we look at Christianity and we say, you know, I'm just not ready for a commitment. I'm liking this thing where I come to church. Sometimes they serve communion and it's like a little snack. It's so nice. And, you know, I go to a small group sometimes, but I don't want to have to commit myself to that. You are robbing yourself of the benefits of a relationship with Jesus. You are robbing yourself of a beautiful commitment. And some of us are the same way with the church, right? So we come to church, we're like, well, I'll go to church, but you know, what if something better happens? Or like, what if a cooler church comes along or whatever, you know, I don't want to commit myself too much to a body of people. You know, the last church I went to, they hurt me really bad. The pastor did something stupid or people started spreading rumors about me, and I'm just going to build a fence around my heart and not commit myself to it. Can I tell you that commitment is always a risk? There's always a risk that comes with commitment, but there are beautiful rewards and benefits that come with taking that risk. We want you to take the risk of commitment. And the third thing that intentional discipleship means to us, and this is the most important thing to me, is that we want you to fall in love with Jesus and let it change everything about you. Sometimes we make church about a lot of other things, but ultimately, if you guys show up here and you feel like you can meet Jesus, that's all I care about. If you bring a friend or a neighbor and they come and they hear the message of Jesus and they decide to become a follower of Jesus, that's all I care about. Last service, my battery died twice on my microphone. It was embarrassing. But I don't care about that, okay? I want you guys to learn to love Jesus the way that I love Jesus. The team here, myself and Suzanne, Jeanette, Joel and Kristen, Gordon and Leslie, and Lindsay, none of us are paid by the church. None of us receive a euro from the church. We're not here because we're getting rich off of your money, okay? None of us take a salary from the church. None of us are here because we want to, you know, be famous or build a really, really huge church in Paris or anything like that. We are here because Jesus has so fundamentally changed who we are. Jesus has shown us such extravagant grace that we're desperate for you to know Jesus the way that we know Jesus. That is why we are here. That is why we're here in this community. We're desperate for people to know Jesus. And a few months ago, after Todd called me and told me the news, you know, he called me and he said, hey, we're taking a position in the U.S. You want to pastor the bridge? I was like, no. No, just kidding. I was super excited. But I started dreaming and really praying about the direction that God had for us. And I started to think, what if it was possible that every international on the west side of Paris could know the name of Jesus? Is that even possible? Like, what are we doing here if we're not dreaming about what that would look like? You know? But it starts with us falling in love with Jesus and letting him begin to change us. It doesn't mean that you walk into your workplace and you're like, everyone, I just want to let you know, I'm a Christian, so if you want to know about Jesus, come and talk to me. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you living a life so full of peace and so full of joy that when people are around you, that they are in the presence of God because Jesus has changed your life so completely. We don't want you to show up here and follow rules or, you know, live your life in some routine because that's what the rule is. We want you to live a life that's born of the grace of Jesus. Jesus' love causes us to live differently. And when we begin to have a grasp of his grace, it changes everything about our lives. I want to read a story to you from Luke chapter 7. And some of you may be familiar with the story. Starting in verse 36. Luke tells a story and he says, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him." The Pharisees were really important religious and political leaders at the time Jesus was there. So one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." When Jesus has changed us, it changes our identity. I was in the U.S. Some time ago, and I would preach at a different church every Sunday. And in the northern part of the state that I'm from, there's a lot of drug addiction. It's really a problem with drug use there. And I got used to coming in and seeing large groups of people with no teeth from meth addiction. And there was a church I went to, and there was a woman at the front, and she was just worshiping really enthusiastically. And it was a little awkward, you know, because it was kind of like, wow, this lady, she seems like really excited. And afterwards, she was asking me a question about my sermon. And she was asking me about a book recommendation. And I was telling her, "Oh, you know, sometimes the author uses bad language, so if that offends you." And she kind of laughed, and she said, "I was a meth addict for years. It's not going to offend me." She said, "But I've been clean for 6 years because Jesus came and he changed my life." And I thought, man, it's easy for us to look at other people and not know their story. But someone like that, someone who's been pulled out of a pit, they don't care what people think of them. They're so in love with Jesus. They're so in love with him because he's changed their life. And we want that for each one of you. We want Jesus to come in and fundamentally change who you are. I want you to know today, I want to commit to you that if you bring a friend or a family member or a neighbor to church here, they're going to hear the message of Jesus preached every Sunday. I've been at churches where I brought a friend that I had been praying for, or I brought a family member that I had been praying for. The pastor preached some dumb message I didn't care about. I was desperate for my friend to hear about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So I want to commit to you today that every Sunday, people are going to have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus. We are here to make followers of Jesus. Some of you today have been avoiding making a commitment. You want an easy out. Maybe you want an easy out to your relationship with Jesus. So you've been avoiding kind of going all in with Jesus and committing yourself to him. Some of you have been avoiding making a commitment to this church if you're a regular attender. And you've said to yourself, you know what, I want to be able to sneak out the back door without anybody noticing. So I'm not going to involve myself too deeply. And I believe that some of you today and over the next few weeks, God is going to speak to you and tell you that it's time to make that commitment. We're in a new season here at the Bridge. And I believe that God is going to do something incredible in our midst during this season. I believe that God is going to begin changing us as a community of faith to do more for this community than we dreamed was possible. This church has been here for 7 years now. And I believe that God is renewing our call to this community. And if we come in here on Sunday morning and we leave again and it doesn't change anything about our week, then we're wasting our time. Can I tell you today that I believe that we can have a community that's been changed by the hope of Jesus Christ? I'm tired of seeing the train lines shut down because people are throwing themselves in front of train because there's such of a lack of hope in their lives. I'm tired of hearing from friends, oh, you know, when you're married, you can just sleep with other people. That's normal here in France. I'm sick of that. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of our children being raised in homes where their moms and dads are not faithful to each other. I'm tired of living in a city where I've heard, since I've been back in June, I've had 4 different people come to me and say, pray for my friend, pray for my neighbor. She's being abused by her husband. I'm tired of that. I'm not okay with that happening in our community. I walk the train stations here, and I believe that God spoke to me. I'm not just the pastor of the Bridge International Church. I believe that God has called me and called our staff to pastor the west side of Paris. And God is raising up some of you to become people in your community that are bringers of hope and healing and peace in your community. Guys, I believe that we can see a community where hope rises up stronger than the darkness, where people stop thinking about suicide. They stop thinking about how to end their life because they're so full of joy and abundant life in Jesus. I believe that we can see that. I believe that we can have children that are raised in homes where mom and dad are faithful to each other, they respect each other, and they model to their children what a faithful covenant relationship looks like. I believe that we can see that happen in our city. Do you believe that we can see that? I want us to come together. I want us to become a force. But guys, I can't do it by myself. It's not my job. It's not the staff's job. We all have to come together and commit ourselves to this. I believe that we can see a change here. And one thing that God spoke to me just a couple days ago is, you know, I don't want to just see God do good things in the community. I don't just want to see the hungry fed. I don't just want to see the refugees cared for. I want to see God do impossible things through this church. I want to see God do impossible things for our community. We're looking for a building to house our church. And I texted a friend the other day whose dad works in real estate, and I said, hey, we're looking for a building, you know. And I was expecting her to text back and say, what's your budget? And I was going to say, faith. Our budget is faith. But we are believing for God to do the impossible. I want us to be a church of what I call stupid faith, where we say, this is what I'm believing God for. And somebody says, that's stupid. And we say, yeah, I know, but I have faith that God is going to do it. I believe that God is going to do something incredible through this community. And it starts here. It starts today. It starts in each of our hearts. But it's not going to happen if we don't commit ourselves to this body. It's not going to happen if we don't commit ourselves to the person of Jesus and to the hope that he wants to bring to this community and the healing that he wants to bring to the lives and the families that surround this church. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.